Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today, the 4th of July, 2018, Wednesday morning. Your numbers to call, 434-1790, 266-4862. That's for WhatsApp. Several issues before us today. My top three, road tax and the minister's seemingly contradictory comment about payment. We'll get into that a little bit more. But I believe strongly that there has to be some level of consideration for those persons who are due to pay road tax, either in June and, well, more so June than July, simply because there should be some level of proration or prorated payment for those persons who heard the comments of the minister just a couple weeks ago and then were confronted with the comments yesterday. There has to be some level of discussion. It should not just be pay your tax. I think there should be some consideration given that the tax that is due is for the month, for the year ahead, and the year ahead has 12 months. So if you pay a tax which is due on the 29th of June and it no longer has, it is abolished on the 1st of July, that customer or that consumer has a legitimate query and concern about whether or not that tax is applicable and whether they should get some level of reprieve. My second issue has to do with service delivery, and this is an issue that I'm very passionate about, and I think we ought to do better in Barbados, whether it is at a gas station, coming in at the airport, whether it is us doing our jobs and doing it efficiently and, you know, productively in a manner that adds value to our clients and to the persons that we serve. I think there's a certain level of personal responsibility that has to be dealt with and to be improved in Barbados. Respect for humankind and being genuinely interested in serving and giving our decent and caring service to our country. And it is not only for tourism, although we are a tourism-dependent country, given that the largest percentage of contribution to GDP comes from tourism. I recently returned from Dominica just a couple days ago, and I was a little appalled. I encountered 1, 2, 3, 4 persons before I got to immigration, and not one of them said, "Welcome to Barbados." And I was on a flight with very many non-nationals coming into our country, and the first persons we encountered did not even look in our direction. They continued having their own conversations about different things and no welcome or anything of that sort. And I think we ought to do better in this country. Thirdly, but certainly not least, the issue of hurricane preparedness and disaster mitigation, whether we talk about resilience or whatever. I think Barbadians ought to pay closer attention to this matter, not only from the household perspective, but our businesses need to ensure that we have some form of plan, recovery plan, in the advent of a serious challenge. I spent a couple of days in Dominica, and it was really sobering for me because this is nearly a year subsequent to the onslaught of Hurricane Maria. And it was really, really challenging for those persons then, and they continue to reel from the effects now. And it has not only impacted landscape and, you know, your infrastructure, but it has impacted the way of doing business, has impacted life, livelihood. It has impacted so many areas of life for those persons. They have not been able to come back to normalcy in so many different ways. So my encouragement is for us to put some mechanism in place for preparedness. I know we cannot necessarily be fully prepared for a Hurricane 5, a Category 5 hurricane, but we can definitely be prepared for a 2 or a 3. And then even if the eventuality of a 5 occurs, we would have put some mechanisms in place for post the particular challenge that we would encounter. I said I have 3 issues. The very last one has to do with my congratulations to Mr. David Commichon. I read this morning that he is now the advisor to the Prime Minister on CARICOM matters. Mr. Commichon is a brilliant attorney. He's an activist, and he's many other things to us in Barbados. And while you may think that you're going to lose his voice, I think it gives rise to the value and the addition of some other key persons who will continue to talk about issues that are important to our consumers. Those are my 4 issues that I would present this morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Lisa Gale, and it's my pleasure to be with you until 1 p.m. today. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, sir.
I wanted to deal with your first issue, the issue of the road tax.
Yes.
Now, my position is this on this matter. As you quite rightly said, road tax covers a period of a year for the most part. So if, as it is my situation, your road tax expired on the 27th of June. How can it be? How can a person expect you to pay $900 for 4 or 3 or 4 days, especially when you consider that there was a weekend in there? Now, I think that, as you correctly said, that the matter, you need to have greater consideration for the persons who are in that position. When you are transitioning from one policy to another, there must be a grace period within which you allow persons to be able to transition to the next system. And there must be some allowance given for those persons who fall into that category. The other thing that has me concerned is this. Now, the minister spoke very clearly about waiving or zero rating NSRL items. So what are you saying to me? That my NSRL for the business people is more important than the persons who are or the ordinary man on the street who's going to pay his road tax every possible year? To my mind, that speaks of a level of callousness that ought not to be associated with a government which came in on the premise that they were caring. That is the first thing. The second thing I want to address is that I went to the MTW this morning, and the gentleman made it very clear that there is no such thing called installments for road tax. He said clearly there is no legislation, there is no directive, there is no paperwork that allows you to pay anything by installment. So therefore, persons who were in there who had come with the express purpose of paying in installments were turned away. So these issues ought to be addressed. I don't understand how you can come on the air, on public television, tell people that if it were you, paraphrasing, I will put down my car until 2 days have expired.
We don't know whether... There are two comments there. I heard it myself as well, and I made the comment that it appears contradictory. What I did hear the minister say yesterday is that he was speaking specifically to the legislation element of it, but not to the applicability of payment. I think that does lead to some real serious confusion, and there's nothing that you said that I can't necessarily agree with. The only thing,
that's what he was saying. I would put it that way. But all I'm saying is that there must be some consideration given, because it is unreasonable. From July 1st, you are paying the tax on your fuel. How can you really expect people to pay $900, $400, or $1,600, and yet while they are paying that fuel levy? That is not right.
Yeah, it's something that they need to revisit, and I would appeal to the powers that be to listen to themselves and listen to as well the constituents, and I mean constituents meaning the road users.
Especially when you came in on the ticket that said you care. But if this is care, you don't want to see when you don't care.
Well, I wouldn't conflate the two. Care of a government really means that they care about the well-being of us. And as you say, they should, in terms of conversation and relating and communication, etc., their language should appear as though there's some level of care. So if I were in the shoes of the minister, I would have said, let us think about it. Let us look and see how it is, you know, but not just to say, based on what has been quoted. I heard part of what he said. And of course, you know, when you only hear a piece of a clip, you don't get the essence of what has always, you know, what has been intended or necessarily what the context of what all has been said. So I thank you for your contribution. I think those comments are clear, and you will hear from the other callers what are some of the various perspectives on a matter that seems clearly contradictory. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Gill. Hello?
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things there. The first thing, when you are bringing, when you are changing anything, you give the people in Barbados a certain amount of time, and then you will have your GS programs on night to go through these things carefully and explain to the people what is the position and where they're going from there. And let's draw an example to you. My neighbor, what we call Rotats, will be due. It will be open next year in February. So therefore, she next year now will not have to pay the road tax. But this is what she finds interesting. The $70 that she used to put in diesel, when she turned on the ignition car, the needle was pointed. She used to take her bearings from where the needle pointed when she put in $70. What she noticed now that when she put in that same $70, the needle goes below that. So therefore, apparently she has to put in, she told me she has to put in over $100 to get to the point where she used to put in $70. these are things that should be explained to the people in Barbados. And I told you before, this was a rushy something. You can't rush these things on to people.
Rich, I just want to comment on your point there about the previously she was paying $70 for the same amount that she's paying $100. That just simply means that there has been an increase.
When she put in $70 and she turned on ignition, the needle was point, and she would take her bearings from there, right? So when she put in $70 now, she do not, that the needle do not point the same at the center.
But that's obvious, though. I don't think that this has anything to do with road tax or the increase in price.
It has nothing to do with road tax.
I thought
all these things should be explained to the people.
But no, what needs to be explained is that if you put in 30 liters and it is at a value of $70, over time, as you know, the gas has been creeping up a little. She's now putting in 30 liters, and it comes at a value of $100 now. That means that there has been an increase.
Yeah, but some people didn't look at it that way.
I'm at a loss as to how you use that as an example. You just said, let me give you an example.
I told some people think that when they put in $70, they will get $70 worth.
You probably need to explain to them that an increase means.
Right.
An increase.
Yes. And I was telling you that they should have these GS programs 6 months before you do anything. But
every time there has been an increase, the public of Barbados has been informed, both on the CBC as well as on VOB.
Yes. You're talking about a little 10 cents and 20 cents here. But we're talking about you $70 now is no value.
Yes, but did you say when she was putting in $70 vis-a-vis when she started putting in the $100?
Yes,
because there has not been that astronomical increase in diesel in Barbados. So that is an incorrect statement to suggest that she was putting in $70, whether she did it last month, and now she's putting in $100. I haven't experienced that. And I use diesel as well in my vehicle.
She went up to yesterday and put in $100. All right?
Same 30 liters?
I don't know how much liters it is. She never recorded liters, and that is her problem.
Okay, well, your argument, therefore, you're saying then, I'm going to ask you to go on to your next comment.
No, but you only know that if you said, when you put in the $70 and you would take a recording of the amount of liters that you're showing.
The only time you and I can continue this particular discussion on the subject is if you're speaking with, sharing apples with apples. If you're talking 30 liters and 30 liters, then we can have a discussion on it. You're not talking 30 liters and 30 liters, and therefore your argument is null and void.
But if I tell you I put in $70.
Well, you don't talk about you and not about your friend that you can't necessarily corroborate the story.
For me to know how much is $70, I would have to go outside and look at the gas pump when it's very close off.
So how you managed to bring the argument if you didn't do all of your research before you can come to make a justification as to why we need more public service announcements?
I was trying to explain to her about the road tax and about the gas, about the diesel. I told her that she would have to pay much more for the diesel, but she let you up to know she fully understood. And by the way, though, you said that the price of diesel did not go up.
I didn't say that. The price of diesel did go up. It is LPG that has gone down. We were all notified in Barbados of this a couple days ago, around weekend, just before.
But the price of diesel, they expected anyhow, later down this year, it went to go back up again anyhow. So therefore, I told her last night that she will see also another increase again. Because as you come on to the winter season, the price of gasoline and diesel does go up. The other point is, Mr. Gill, you were talking about just now about the appointment of David Comerchand. To be what? I didn't get you fully. I didn't fully understand what you said.
I understand he's advisor to the Prime Minister on CARICOM matters.
What does that really mean, though?
It means that matters relating to CARICOM. I don't know if you were able to see the agenda for the heads of government meeting that is taking place. This weekend is always held the weekend of this time. This is when CARICOM came into being in 1974, July 2nd or something like that. And around this time, the heads always meet. And on the agenda, they have issues relative to the same disaster management. They're going to receive a meeting, a report from the Commission on Marijuana. They're going to have discussion. They're actually meeting with the heads of both Cuba and, is it Venezuela? I stand corrected whether it's Venezuela or not. But that that caused me to be pretty pleased because, as you know, Mr. Comichon has been in the vanguard of, you know, relations with Venezuela and Cuba, as well as the head of the Pan-African Affairs. And he's held a lot of positions which put him ripe to be able to advise the minister on a subject like this. That is why, I don't know what you mean when you ask me what does advisor to PM means. In my position right now as advisor to CARICOM Growth Forum for the CDB and the World Bank, advisor has a number of connotations. You give technical advice. You offer administrative support. You share historical information. You do research. It captures a number of things. So the term advisor is not overly esoteric, but it is really the person who would be the go-to person on matters of that subject. So I hope that was able to elucidate your query. Anything else, sir, before we go to the next caller? This is Down to Brass Stats. Good morning. I should also at this point give one of our major trading partners, the United States of America, offer congratulations on their 242nd independence. I had the privilege of attending the celebrations at the U.S. Embassy just on the 14th of June and hearing Ambassador Tagliata, I think I have the right thing, hearing her talk about the work that is going on and her relations with Barbados, and also hearing Minister of Foreign Affairs also talk about their relations with the United States. So a big congratulations to the United States on its independence celebrations. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
A blessed good morning to the beautiful Lisa Gale.
Blessed good morning to you, sir.
This is the man you called Mr. Agriculture. Any other is counterfeit.
Okay.
Now,
yes.
I have one bone to pick with you. Mm-hmm. That you should have carried me to that trip with Dominica.
Oh, it was a quick one, and it wasn't even planned.
I am just being facetious, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. But it's not far. It's 45 or 50 minutes.
I know, it's just next door.
You know? And Liat is on time. I experienced it both going and coming. So.
Oh, I am glad to hear that we are one of the shareholders, and it is trying to do a good job. So mm-hmm. that is laudable.
Yes.
How are you, by the way, ma'am?
I am doing well. I'm doing well.
Good. That's excellent. Well, I'm here too, holding on and trusting that things will get better. Now, mm-hmm. the caller before me has been lashing at this government for a long time. But
and why don't you ignore the caller before you and talk about the issues
mind? I'm not going to ignore the caller. I just need to say that he wants to send to the Republic that everything that this government do will fail.
How you know what his intentions are?
Yeah, because he said it on numerous occasions. He has been either in the first three callers from time the manifesto launched in Kingston. And I remember these things very, very clear. Because I take clear attention to what is happening in the Barbados Labour Party. So there are still certain people out there that want to pull down the government. We are only 30 days and plus, and you will not get everything right besides. You know, and within your profession, I know that you deal with figures and you would understand certain things better than most people do, and I do. So I'm glad that you come in a day or two to sit down and to educate John Public. And I hope that you will use your intellect and your intelligence to help some of the people that are behind the clock to bring them up to par as to what is going on. And what I see with you, you are not a one-sided lady. You always try to call a spade, and I must give you kudos for that.
So one question for you. How are you in terms of preparations as Mr. Agriculture as it relates to this hurricane season?
We
haven't had that significant level of rainfall.
No, but I am glad that we are getting some rain because we have a lot of dry time, and outside has some severe cracks on the outside. So we are now seeing some backfilling of the soil again. The water has not penetrated as much because I was outside doing some transplanting of some papaws this morning, doing a little bit of molding.
Okay.
But what we need to do is to try to clear the gutters, which they have already started. And there's where you know they have the sucks or whatever, you make sure, because you've got a lot of debris, a lot of dry leaves and stuff, you
yes.
make sure that you clear those passages and make sure that they're clear.
Okay.
Because we find out that we sit down and we wait for MPWR drainage to try to do everything in our community. But one or two people can come out, they can clear the body sidewalk and their holes because they get blocked from time to time. So, and I believe that if everybody come out and they do their part in their surroundings or close by to the surroundings, we would save a lot of the disasters that can be had. Okay. And I hope that we learn a lot of lessons from the Category 1 hurricanes that hit the Caribbean islands last year, because that was very bad.
Remember the category, as I spoke to one or two of my colleagues in Dominica this week, they went to bed on the presumption that it was a category 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even say they got up.
But well, they went right up to category 5.
But, that's my point. So you said us category 1, but they were hit pretty hard.
Stand corrected, category 5, category 5 hurricanes. And I remember that fresh in my mind, and I want to look that for Barbados, because we would be flattened and we would take a long time to catch back ourselves, and especially the pressure that we are under now trying to recover from an economic crisis. And we just got to pray that everything will work out. And as I said, everybody got to try to play their role and do their part, and hope that we are spared again when the disasters start to throw around themselves around the Caribbean islands. Okay. Lisa, I want to touch a little bit on Ivory Coast, if I may.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about agriculture, because I've never engaged. I've always engaged you in politics and so on and so forth. I don't know you personally, how you look at agriculture in Barbados. I would like to give me a little sneak preview as to what agriculture means to Lisa Gale as an individual.
Oh, what it means?
Yes, to Lisa Gale personally as an individual.
Agriculture is a very big and broad topic. Covering issues, not even just getting to food security, but automatically when you think of agriculture, you think of the cultivation of land, breeding animals, and all that, being able to feed a country, also to address issues relative to medicinal purposes, etc. Because if you are honest, dealing with the issue of marijuana, mm-hmm. that falls under the ambit of agriculture as well, because it is a plant.
It does.
And it has medicinal purposes, and it may not be able to sustain life like food crop, but it has a role. So agriculture is very broad. What tickles me about agriculture is the technological advancements over the years.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about
biomass and biofuels.
Yes, not even that too, but food, agro-processed foods, and being able to use what we have naturally to enhance and to feed ourselves, enhance the environment and also feed ourselves. So when I think of agriculture, I think of it in its varying elements, and I think of the value it brings to improve our lives. What I have been doing over the last few months is going to... I go to the supermarket and I buy normal things you can't get anywhere else. But then I go to the market. There is a market, I wouldn't call the, where it is, but I go there and I purchase my all of my tomatoes and my thyme and everything you can think of. Then I have a guy, I call him my coconut man. But with him, I also get the fibers. I get my sweet potato, my yams, etc. I enjoy having discussions either at that market or with my coconut gentleman, who will tell me about, recently he educated me on the boar yams and the white yam and the different color yams. And, you know, I love to hear people who are in the ground and in the environment and that
coconut
kind of.
Lisman.
I never heard that term. Lisman. Coconut Lisman?
Yes, please.
No, but another thing I do, I buy coconut jelly.
that's very good for your body as well. But there's a yam that we used to export to England and New Zealand years ago called the coconut Lisman, and that has swiftly blown away over. I believe one or two people will still have it saved, because, you know, the older people always save those things. There's a certain breed of edibles, there's a certain breed of yam, there's a certain breed of slick potatoes and those kind of things that the old stalwarts will keep going. Even in terms of the old Bajan cucumber, you won't find much people now having that Bajan cucumber, whereas that cucumber will stay up so long that these cucumbers now that you have which is the calypso or the happy dance,
mm-hmm.
if they are too, you don't put them on the chiller, automatically they become wibbly and turn yellow.
Yes, yes. Sometimes I encounter that if I don't.
So but it is right. Mm-hmm.
I want you then to tell me when you hear agriculture, for somebody who's been in the industry for so long and being a practitioner yourself, when you hear the term agriculture, or when you hear what is agriculture for you? Not just what is food security, but what is agriculture for you?
Number one, agriculture is life.
Mm.
It is life. Mm-hmm. It helps people to stay healthy. And mm-hmm. that's how I look at it. It helps people to be strong. Because as you know, you come along as a little girl, so you come along with the old stalwarts. We didn't run to no Chauffette nor no Kentucky. There was always ground food. There was always a piece of Tanya Edda, a piece of yam, a piece of butter stick cassava. You will have the Carolina or the carrot potatoes or the other red skin potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would go in that time when the plantations were working, and you would get pickings. When they buy the onions, they will buy what you would call the small onions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will get some sort of cost of living in that time, although it was hard, you would have been still able to survive because planting was on a high. If you understand me, you wouldn't.
Yeah, our tastes have changed to some extent.
Correct. But I believe personally in my heart that if you cannot feed your nation or your country, you're looking at a pandemic. And that's what scares me in agriculture, that we are not educating this society, because we're still looking at it that a man must go out into the field with a fork and a hoe all day long in hot boiling sun, like they have nothing better to do to be productive. And this is the way to say that.
I don't think that people think of agriculture in that regard. In fact, I should not even speak about agriculture without speaking about an area that I'm involved in.
Sure.
As a member of the board of the Barbados Entrepreneurship Foundation, we have a project with young, I think it's between the ages of 15 to 17, with our young, it's called the Agricultural Project. And this is like the third year. This year was the year that they actually did the National Vocational Qualification. And these students came from being timid and not knowing much about business to understanding where agriculture can take them in business. And as I said, I think I said it on this program before, there were some young people. I was educated about rabbits.
Good.
About the rabbit meat and its real value and to the body and other things. And then there are two elements to their business. One is the rabbit itself and the meat, etc. But then the rearing of the rabbits. And then a lot of great ideas came out of this project that the BEF has led. And I would tell you, a lot more small, we don't know much about them, but a lot more projects are ongoing as it relates to agriculture. So our youth are not necessarily thinking of hot sun and fork.
Right.
We have a lot of youth who've been educated. So while these programs might not get the visibility, if you look very closely at what took place just the other day as it relates to the February, I think it was in February or March, our big agricultural program that I heard you decrying a couple months ago.
You mean the one down in Crease Park?
The park, yes. But that has really given rise to a lot of good work in the area of agriculture. And while you may not necessarily be sold on it in some form or fashion, I can tell you a lot of our children in the school system found out about agriculture through that same festival.
Yeah.
So I give kudos to the work that is going on there and the knowledge that our students have received over the years. And the young ones too. The young ones go and they learn about the different types of animals that we rear in Barbados, etc. So a lot of good work is going on in agriculture in Barbados. Unfortunately, it doesn't get the same visibility as some other areas. I will let you wrap up here and make a last statement.
Yes, all right. And my wrapping up, and I thank you for being so nice to me, and I hope that you will always have this loving spirit towards people as they come to try to interact with you. I just want to say that I would like to see we get back into exportation, because our import bill is ridiculous, as you know. We don't need to go through the figures. It is ridiculous. And I know for a fact, if we used to export in the 70s and the 80s, we can get back some of this land that's sitting down just with wild bush and courage, her bugging public, to put it back into production and bring back. I want you to hear about the ferry. I entertain people to talk about this ferry issue. I hope that this ferry issue can get going in terms of planting bananas, the same yams, the same sweet potatoes, so that we can do a inter into Caribbean link. Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, I understand
and that will help our economy. It may sound stupid to people
I think one of the bigger and one of the bigger areas would be the taste. We first have to get people to start being interested in eating those type foods. I would give you an example. I went to dinner on the night before I left, the same Dominica, and I ordered ground provisions. I wanted to taste Dominica's hand, technically speaking, and the food was lovely. And it wasn't just, they cut off pieces of sweet potato and they just boil it. No, they did something something called croutons. They put it together in a nice, very pleasantly designed way, and the food was lovely. So thank you for your contribution today. This is Down to Brass Tacks.